All right, we're at Philippians chapter 2. And I think this is one of the most powerful, one of the best passages in all the Bible. It says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, these are what I would call rhetorical questions. The answer should be, of course. But if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. All of these, I think, all of this first four verses are going to tie with verse 5 and the following verses, because I think it's basically talking about having the mind of Christ. Okay? So when it talks about being like-minded, it's not saying like, well, let's all agree on everything. He's talking about having the same mindset as Christ has. And so he's talking about that sometimes we think being like-minded or whatever means we have to agree on everything. That's not the case.
I hope not.
It's not. Because, like I've said, if two people agree on everything, one of them is not necessary. Okay, so
we're all necessary.
We all are different, and God made us that way on purpose, you know. And so, but he's talking about having the same attitude, and mindset that Christ had, which is talking about
person uses purpose.
Same purpose?
Same.
Okay.
Being right. One in spirit and purpose.
Hey, Sandra.
Hey.
Hello.
Jimmy might help them there.
Okay, this one again.
Sorry.
It's all right. Come on in. Come right down through there.
Good morning.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
And who is this, Sandra?
This is my mother, Mary.
Hello.
Hello, Mary. We're glad to have you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're in Philippians chapter 2. Okay. He talks about, there any encouragement from being united with Christ? Is there any encouragement from being united with Christ? All of the blessings that come there. And so again, it's kind of a rhetorical question. It's obvious that you should have that. But being united with Christ is what? That's what we all are, right? And so we have encouragement from each other from being united with Christ. All right? If any comfort from His love, do we have any comfort from the love that Christ has for us and what He's done for us? If any common sharing in the Spirit, that's a little harder. What do you think that means, common sharing in the Spirit?
Is that how we serve others? When we're sharing?
Okay. I think this is, do we all have the Spirit of God in us?
Yes.
Okay, so we all have that in common, right? That God, the Holy Spirit lives inside us. And so we have a sharing of that. And again, I think what he's doing is he's reminding us of all the things that we have in common. Okay, as Christians, that we have in common with one another. Okay, and we all have God's Holy Spirit to help us and to change us and to do what we can't do for ourselves. Okay? I can't change anything, but God can change me. Okay. So we all have that in common, having the same love. What love would that be?
Fellow man. Okay.
But for love for who?
Fellow man.
Christ. For Christ, for others. Okay. For each other. What did he, in John 13, he said, what? By this will all men know that you're my disciples and that you have what? Love one for another. Okay. So it's a common sharing of love from one another. Okay. So all of that, being one in spirit. Now in this case, it's not, I think this is a little S compared to the big S for the Holy Spirit. So I think one in spirit means our spirits are united together in terms of we are all trying to what? Serve God together. We're all trying to honor God with our lives. And so we have that spirit of love, the spirit of wanting to serve God, that same spirit, okay? And of one mind, okay? And again, I think this is the one mind goes to the mind of Christ. Okay, do we have the same mind set that Christ has? Okay, because that's what he calls us to, right? Isn't that what we strive for, is to have the mind of Christ, to be like Christ in our life? And so, again, being one, of one mind means we have that same mindset that he has, okay? Which we're about to look at, okay? That mindset, but that's... that seems to me to be what he's talking about here. Feel free, anybody feel free to comment or whatever at any point here. If you have something to contribute, I'd be glad for you to. Okay. And part of that mindset goes to the next verse. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Okay? In other words, what? You're not focused on yourself. You're not being selfish. You're not being focused on yourself. You're not, what do I want? What do I like? What do I? Okay? I'm not trying to promote myself or my whatever. Okay? Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Now there's a hard one, isn't it?
Yes.
To value others above yourselves? What do you think that means? Is everybody worth more than you?
Not worth more than, we're all the same worth, but when it's putting other people in front of us or, you know, serving other people.
Right, it is. It is serving, and again, we're going to see that in a minute when we read about what Christ did. He put others above himself. Okay? He put their needs, their wants, their whatever above themselves. Okay? And so, and I think as we get more mature in Christ, then that ought to be our thoughts, is all right. I think as parents, when you get to be parents, you what? You put your children in front of you, before you, their needs before yours. Okay, that's what adults do. What mature people do is they put the needs of others before themselves. Okay, or grandkids, or great grandkids, or whatever it is. We put their, you know, what can we do for them? What can we do for them? And we don't think about ourselves. We don't put ourselves first, but put their needs first. And again, that's a sign of maturity when we put others in front of our their needs in front of our needs. Okay. And he says, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others. Okay? So again, it's a total denial of self and looking at how do we serve others, okay? I think one of the great blessings of being a Christian and our purpose is to honor God is from Ephesians 2:10, He created us to do good works. And so I look at it as every day when I get up, who can I do good to today? What good can I do today? I'm free to do all the good I can. I think that's a good way to live, okay? Just looking for who can you do good to? Who can you help today? What blessing can you be to somebody today? How do you honor God today? Okay? That's the kind of thing that I think He calls us to. And if we have that mindset, that's a pretty good way to live. If you're looking, who can I do good to today? Who can I help today? You know, who can I bless today? That's I think that's what He calls us to do, and the life He calls us to live is serving others. Okay, and how do you feel when you serve others? When you help others, you feel good, don't you? Because that's what we're created to do. Ephesians 2:10, we were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which He planned in advance for us to do. Okay, so we feel good when we do good because that's what we were created to do. Okay, it's hard, I guess. We live in a world that it's easy. Our human nature is such that we think about ourselves. Well, how does this affect me? How do I like this? How do I whatever view this? Whatever. That's the natural tendency we have. Okay. And so it's not a natural thing for us to think about others, serve others, and yet, like a mother. For a child, she naturally does. She naturally just thinks about that. That's probably the best example I can think of. That she naturally just wants to take care of her child and take care of them, whatever. And so, but He extends that, I think, idea out to everybody. Okay? When I talk to the guys away, the world basically says, what can you do for me? You can't do something for me? I don't need you. Okay. But Christians say, what? What can I do for you? How can I help you? Total opposite. Go from, what can you do for me to, what can I do for you? Okay. It's a very opposite type attitude, mindset. Okay. And I think that's what God is calls us to, and for us to do it what? Together. And to remember that we're all to have this mindset. We're all to have these things. We have all these things in common in Christ as brothers and sisters, and with God and with the Holy Spirit, with Christ. All these things we have together. And so that makes us unique in the world. And it makes us different in the world. Okay? And so we have that common bond. And I think sometimes we forget about all those common bonds that we have. And we really appreciate. I've been blessed. Most of my life I've moved all over. 4.5 years as long as I ever lived anywhere in my life until I went to Russia. For 10 years, and then I've been here 16 years, so this is like, I've never been any place so long.
Don't okay? believe
us. No, it isn't. My wife says we ain't moving, so I don't think we're moving. So, but it's just, but having been here that long, okay, for me, that's that, you know, some of you have been here for a lot longer than that, but for me, that's, and I've gotten close to the people here and whatever, and so, have great friendships and all that, and so I appreciate that, and I appreciate all my brothers and sisters and here, and I just love it. I have no desire to go anywhere else, but It's just God's given me opportunities here that I've never had other places. So it's just appreciating that and all. And so, you know, I just feel really blessed to be here because of that, and to know all of you, and to have relationships there, and care about people. I think that's what he calls us to appreciate, okay? But not just appreciate that, but also to have a desire to serve one another, to serve others, and all. And so, again, what's his focus? Our focus should be what? Others' focus, okay? Not ourselves, but how we can serve others, what we can do for others, how we can help others, that mindset. So then we get to verse 5, and that's where he's really going to talk about it. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So what's he focused on? In your relationship with what? One another, have the same mindset as Christ, okay? And so, for me, then I want to look at my mindset and say, all right, do I have that mindset as I look at you, okay? Do I have the same mindset as Christ as I look at you, as I treat you, as I deal with you? What kind of mindset do I have, okay? And it seems to me that's the question we should be asking ourselves. Okay, what's my mindset? You know, that's what I would take out of this. I can see what Jesus' mindset is. So the question is, do I have that mindset? Because that, isn't that what he just said? In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Okay, so what kind of mindset did he have? All right, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Okay, he's God. Okay, he can do anything he wants. All right. So what does he choose to do? Okay, he didn't even hold on to that. Okay, but rather he made himself nothing. All right. Usually we're trying to make ourselves something. Okay. Look at me, notice me, whatever. He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. That's the Greek word is doulos, and it's closer to a slave than a servant. Okay, being made in human likeness. Okay, he's God, but he decided to come down and be like us. Okay, and go through what we go through. All right, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So not only did he choose to come and make him and live as we do, as a man, but what? Was willing to die, came here knowing that his purpose in coming here was to die a very humiliating death on a cross. Alright, so he was willing to be humiliated, to be spit on, to be beaten, to be whatever. And this is God who can do anything he wants to do. And what does he choose? He chooses to do that. Why? Why does he choose to do that?
He loves us.
Because he loves us, and because what? That's what we needed. That's what we had to have. Without him doing that, then we're all lost. All of humanity is lost. Because Jesus died for everybody who lived before the cross and everybody who lived after the cross. For everybody. That's what he said. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Okay? He's the only way to God. And he knew that. And it was planned even before the beginning of time. God had his plan to save man through Christ, through the church, before he ever created the world. He already knew we would sin. He knew what we would do, who we would be, how we would be, all of those things. But still, knowing that, and I think Romans 5, verse 6, 8, and 10 says what? While we were sinners, while we were powerless, while we were ungodly, while we were his enemies, Christ died for us. So he didn't die for us because, well, we're so good. He just has to do that, you know. He does it because he loves us and cares about us. Okay? And so, obviously, he was not, what, thinking about himself, was he? In doing that, was he ever thinking about doing it himself? No, he was always, what, thinking about what honored his Father and what was best for us. Okay? And so that's, now I understand that we're human and we don't measure up, okay? I don't measure up anyway, okay, to that, okay? But that's the standard that he's calling us to. That's the standard that I want, okay? I want to be that way. I want to do that. I want to have that attitude that I'm thinking about others and whatever, not thinking about myself. Okay, with that, if we were selfless like that and serving, would that work in marriage? You think?
Yep.
Would that work in where we work? In our relationships with people? Yeah, you know, there's usually not too many people get too upset with you if you're trying to do, if you're putting them first. You know? Yes, Sandra.
I learned to pray. This was, I think, in 2015, the ministry before I came, I was at the Inner City Learning Center. But anyways, my prayer was, Lord, break my heart for what nature. Well, that very same day, you know, I have my ministry card, and there were two wrecks. One was fatal. So the cops let me pass, you know. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. But, you know, but he will do it. And I have started praying that again for the last few months. But it will present opportunities because we are created to be like him. So break my heart. If you pray that, he'll do it. I've had several opportunities.
If you are looking to the needs of others, you will see the needs of others.
You know, if we acted like this, there wouldn't be any wars.
No. But if we acted like this, there wouldn't be any wars. But that's assuming everybody would act like this. And he's writing this to who? Christians, right? Because Christians desire this, okay? But you're right. Obviously, if everybody had that attitude and they're looking out for others, there's not going to be those problems. But there are... is it really hard to find people who have needs? It's not, is it? All right, they're everywhere, okay? You know, if you just look at any prayer list, any whatever, but just seeing... even in your own family and your own, you know, acquaintances, whatever, you find opportunities with people, and you see their needs. And sometimes it's not physical; it's emotional, or you know, helping them. You know, just encouragement. I think that's why the Bible talks about encouraging one another so much. There's 55 one another passages in the New Testament. Okay, love one another, serve one another, pray for one another. You know, greet one another. All kinds of one another passages. Okay, because that's where we get to what? Show this mindset. of helping one another and serving one another. And so we're looking for that way to do that. And so so I have to look at my mind and see, is that where my mind is? Is it on serving others, on helping others, on loving others, on caring for others, on focused on what can I do for others, not what's with me, okay? What I like, what I want, what I like, you know, what makes me happy, okay? I don't know that there's a passage that where God says, you know, His aim is to make us happy. Okay. All right. I think we have, but Paul talks about what? Joy all the time. And I think there is, I find great joy in like when I'm helping guys out of his way and teaching them and sharing with them and watching their lives change. And you get opportunities all the time. Like this week, one of them asked me to write a letter. He's going to court and write a letter for him. So, just okay. But just opportunities like that that come up all the time. If you're looking for opportunities, okay, they're there, and opportunities to serve others. When I first got married, I grew up with three sisters and a brother, and the women, and my mom was a stay-at-home mom, and so the girls and my mom, they took care of the cooking and the dishwashing and all that kind of stuff, any stuff in the inside of the house they took care of. And the guys, our job was what? Outside, mow the lawn, shovel the snow, you know, or whatever, outside. So when I got married, well then what? That's what I'm expecting. All right, my wife is supposed to take care of all the inside of the house, and I'll take care of the outside of the house. Okay? So I didn't see that there were a lot of opportunities. What? I could help with the dishes. I could actually even cook if I needed to, or whatever. And it took me a long time, before I figured out, I could do that too. When I found out my wife's love language is service, okay, so when I serve her, then she understands that I love her, okay, and so I find it an opportunity now to I look for ways I can serve her, and so I pick my house every morning and take care of all the dishes and all that and stuff and I vacuum the rugs and I mop the floors and I do the all that stuff that I...
When you get through, come on over.
Do you do bathrooms?
Are you
crying?
Okay.
Well, but it's just something I figured out I could do for her because she has problems sometimes with her back and whatever, and so I could do that. It was hard for her, and I could do it. So I just see opportunities to do that. And of course, since she's had her knee replacement, both knees replaced, then I had to do some stuff and do the wash and do the cooking and do the whatever. But I saw that as opportunities for me to show her that I loved her. Okay, not, oh, I got to do that too, kind of thing. But see, it's all in how you look at it, isn't it? Whether it's an opportunity to show love or, oh, something else I got to do. It's just all in your attitude, isn't it? How you look at it, as an opportunity to show love or something else I got to do, or whatever. They want me to do this, to do that, it's all in the mindset. And again, when we look at Jesus' mindset, what? Made himself nothing. just totally trying to serve, okay, and not worried about himself at all. And again, that's a hard standard for us to measure up to. But it should be, it seems to me, that what he's saying here is that should be the standard that we're trying to measure up to. That's the person we should try to be, that's the person I want to be. Okay? I can't think of anything worse than sitting around thinking about myself. Okay? I think that's probably miserable.
It's depressing.
Okay? Yeah, it would be. It's just like, why? You know, what is that? You know? But if you can focus on others and serving and who can I help and where can I serve? How can I help this person or that person? And that's what Jesus did. He went about doing good. Okay? And trying to bring others to God. All right? And so it says, when he did all this, then what happened? Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, everything is to the glory of God, okay? And we are to live to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Okay, so that pretty much covers everything. I can't think of it. Eat or drink or whatever you do, that pretty much covers it, doesn't it? Okay, so we're to glory. So when Jesus honored God by doing all the things that his Father wanted him to do, made himself nothing, then what did God do?
Exalted
him. Okay? And what does... in 1 Peter he says what? God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Okay? He lifts up the humble, puts down the proud. Okay? Alright? So... God sees everything that goes on. Everything we do, all of that goes on. He knows our attitudes. He knows our hearts. He knows all the things we do and say and whatever. And so, to me, with all of this, it's looking at my mindset. Again, making it personal for each of us to look at. All right. What's my mindset? You know, what am I looking to do? Who am I? What kind of attitude do I have? You know, whatever. And again, if I'm looking for the benefit of others always, that's going to... and I see all of the commonality or the blessings that are in Christ and with and all the things I share with my brothers and sisters... and the love that God has for me and how blessed we are in Christ, not because we deserve it, but because He loves us and He's given us all these things, then why would we not want to live that way? Okay? Why would we not have a greater appreciation for our brothers and sisters who are like-minded, who are trying to have the mindset of Christ, who are trying to do that. We fail miserably. Okay, that's just the reality of it. We don't live up to that standard. Okay, and I don't care where you're at. We're in different, I guess, different levels of growing. You know, you have babes in Christ, and who, you know, when we have babies, sometimes babies mess their pants. Okay? we don't throw them out. You know, we say, I ain't doing that, baby. Forget that. You know, we clean them up, and go on. Okay, and the little child learns, tries to walk and falls down. Look at that kid. He can't walk. What's the matter with him? We don't do that. What? We're applauding. Hey, he took a step. He took a step. Okay. Can we do that for each other? Can we encourage each other? Can we build each other up? and encourage each other in all those things. Then, as we try to grow, okay? And it doesn't matter whether we've been in Christ a few months, or a few years, or a lot of years. Like I said, if you can't tell the difference between me and Jesus, I got room to grow. So, we all have room to grow, okay? In our life, and it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, unless my mindset is just exactly like Jesus all the time, then I've got room to grow, right? And so, some comments or thoughts?
I was gonna say, for me, when I think about us taking communion together, this is one of the passages I read this last time. I was able to lead us in communion, and I think that, he talks about just the fact that being of the same mind, and he goes into, well, the same mind you should have is this mindset of Christ. And so it's not just a calling for me, it's a calling for us collectively. Sure. To renew our minds. We see that language elsewhere. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just the whole idea of that is humbling, because I think we know that we're imperfect, and just having to remind ourselves that, I continually need a Savior is important. That's also humbling, because I'm having to admit that I can't do this on my own, and I think a lot of times we can come up with that mentality after, we've been a Christian for so long, or if we're not exposing ourselves to situations where we realize that I have some growing to do. And so I think that's why it's important to be a part of a church family. But when we put ourselves in situations with other people, sometimes we find that, well, I've got some work to do because I'm thinking more about me than you. But yeah, it's a really humbling passage, and I think that, like you said, it's probably like the ultimate calling as a Christian is to take on the mindset of Christ, because that's kind of, I think that I look at my kids, and I think a lot of times we want to teach our kids to do good things and, be good people, and I think that, comes out of having this mindset, but ultimately, we want to take on the mindset of Christ first to go out and do the things. So,
right. Yeah, this sounds easy sitting in this room, doesn't it? More easy than whatever, but when you go out in the world, and sometimes people don't always treat you the best, okay? And so, if you go out and you're reacting to how people deal with you or say, or treat you, or they're acting, if you just are reacting to that, then you don't get this mindset, okay? You kind of let them control you, okay? You kind of give control to them because you're reacting to them, rather than deciding that this is who I am, this is the person I am, I'm there to serve. So when I see that person, even if they're acting out or they're not being who they should be or whatever, what should my concern be?
For them.
How can I help them? What do they need right now? What can I do for them that's the best thing for them right now? Because people may be hurting, may be struggling, may be upset about something, may be all kinds of things going on with them. So again, see if my focus is like Christ, what can I do for them? Not reacting, well, I didn't like the way they treated me. I didn't like the way they said that. I didn't like the way they did that. But what can I do to help them? Okay? What do they need at this point that's going to be the most helpful, beneficial thing for them? Okay? So that's hard to do, isn't it? Because we tend to want to react to things. And I think what Brandon said is is right. We have to be what? Reminded? Why do you think you wrote this? Do the Christians not know this? Yeah, they know it, but what? Do they need to be reminded of it? Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons God has us come and meet together every week and all that is to what? Kind of remind ourselves of that, because the world's not reminding us, is it? Okay, so where are we going to get that? Okay, who's going to do that for us? Who's going to remind us of who we should be and what our attitude should be and how we should be living and what we should be doing? That's really the point, isn't it? Of why we're here and what we do is to build each other up, and that's, if you look, that's the reason we get together. You can worship God at home or all during the week, okay? But why do we come together? We come together to be built up, to be encouraged, okay? To be reminded of who we are and what we're about and what we're doing, okay? And that's because we need reminding, because the world is what? Drawing you away? You watch the stuff, all the positive stuff on the news, and all the whatever. It's like, you know, when the world gets all, it doesn't remind you anything about Jesus, does it? Or what kind of mindset we should have, or whatever. And so, that's why we should be encouraged. Number one, when we get a chance to be with what? People who are like-minded.
Yeah.
Okay? Who have the same desire to honor God, the same desire to serve Him, or whatever. And so we can be really thankful for that. If you've ever been in places where there's very few Christians in a place, you begin to appreciate even more the opportunity to be with other Christians, and all. And so sometimes we kind of take that for granted. You know, but so I think he's reminding us here again, having the mindset of Christ to love each other and to serve one another and be focused on the interests of others and not of ourselves. Okay. I think our time's gone. Appreciate you being here. Next week we'll start verse, I think it was 12.
12?
Yep, 12. It's about working out your salvation. Sometimes that's a very misunderstood passage, and we'll talk about that and next week, along with grumbling. Okay, not that we would ever do that. Okay, thank y'all.
Thank you. Be like-minded.